Morning, everyone. My name is Charles Morgan. This is Word is Alive Ministries, and we just thank you so much for listening. We are listener-supported, and we appreciate all those that do and help us out and pray for us and continue to listen. And this morning, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to find Paul explaining some things about where he is. He's in prison. He's in a Roman prison, and he's been there for a little while, but he has an attitude about it. Verse 12 said, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach for Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, a lot of times that verse 21 is read and preached, but we need to understand the context of why Paul was talking about this. Again, he was in prison. He explains that. But he talks about, "I want you to understand something." Now, this was to the church at Philippi. So this was to a church that had supported him. He had established. He wanted to keep going. So he's trying to explain some things to them. Obviously, they're looking at it and thinking, "Oh, he's in prison. You know, this is not good. Maybe he did something wrong." We tend to do that. We tend to look at people when they go through affliction and think, "Well, they've done something wrong. Something's happened in their life. Something's not happened. They're not where they need to be," those types of things. And yet when we get in affliction or something's going on, we say, "Well, you know, we're just going through a trial. It's no big deal." We need to stop doing that. We need to look at people and pray for them. There may be something that we need to learn out of that, and that's why these things are happening. Paul was definitely not in prison for doing the wrong thing. He was in prison for preaching the gospel, which his own people didn't like. It wasn't really the Romans that cared so much about it. They were okay as long as they didn't cause an insurrection. They just, do your own thing. But his own people didn't like what he was doing and decided to go after him and kill him. And so he had to do what he had to do and ended up in a Roman prison because they pressed charges and all these kinds of things. So he's explaining this. So we need to know this. He said, "I would that you understand, brethren." So he's talking to Christian people. He's talking to his fellow brethren. He said, "I want you to understand what is going on with me." And he's going to explain this in a way that I just think is great. But he said that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Folks, everything we do ought to be for the furtherance of the gospel. As children of God, that's what it's all about. It's not about filling the pews. It's not about having a great VBS. It's not about having a great music program or worship, whatever you want to call it. It's not about all those things. It's not having a cool backdrop. It's not having all these things. It's the furtherance of the gospel, the good news, and that good news is Jesus Christ. Everything that we do should be about that, whether we do it inside of our churches or outside. And most of our lives are spent outside of those churches, so we should be doing those things that further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything we do should be related to that somehow. You say, "Well, how do I do that? If I'm going to work, how's that related?" You live a life for Christ. You work as if you're working for Christ because that's what the Bible says to do. You treat people in the way that the Bible says. You live the Bible out, and you also tell people when you get the opportunity about Jesus Christ. It may be at lunch, at work, or some other way, but they need to know you believe that. It's not just that, "Well, there's a really cool person," or "they do a lot of good things," but no, why do they do those things? why are you doing that? You need to have that opportunity to talk and tell people, well, I believe in Christ. And it may start out with, I go to church here, and lead into the other. It always should be about the furtherance of the gospel. And so in verse 13, he talks about where he is. He says, so that my bond, so this lets us know he's in prison. He's under bond. He is tied down. He can't leave. He doesn't have the ability to go where he wants to anymore. He said, so in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all the other places. He's saying, I'm spreading the gospel where I am. People know. I'm talking about it. I'm telling people. So he was in other places it talks about. He had an armed guard with him, and he had led him to Christ. And so we see these things that no matter what our circumstance, we should be spreading the gospel of Jesus. It may be, you know, in a hospital where we're going through treatment of some kind. It may be at a playground with kids. It may be at a school. It may be at a workplace. It may be wherever. But we should take that opportunity. Every opportunity that's presented. And they will present themselves. I promise you, if you tell the Lord, I want to spread the gospel, those opportunities will be there. Now, then you're going to have to make the decision. Do I do that or do I just turn my back on it? Folks, do it. Do it. Take that opportunity to just tell someone about Jesus. And you say, well, I don't know a lot of scripture. You don't have to. You can have your New Testament. You can have them read scripture. You can just tell them your story. Tell them what Christ has done in your life. They can't deny that. They may say, well, I don't believe that Bible. But they can't deny what God has done in your life. You know, they may say, well, I don't really believe that he did that. But, you know, like, well, it's true. I can tell you right now, that is my story. That is my life. That is what has happened. And I want to tell you that. So take every opportunity. Paul did that. He talked about his life. He talked about where he was headed, what he was doing when he was going on the road to Damascus, and how it changed. That's what he delivered. He told these people, look, this changed my life. I got on a different path. I was going one way. I'm going another. You know, they didn't believe him. I think you're mad. There's something wrong with you. But he said, nope, this is it. This is exactly what happened. So he's saying, I'm in bonds. I'm in prison. But throughout all the palace, they know Christ is being made manifest. Christ is being made alive because through my words, through my deeds, through the way I react with people. I'm letting them know about all about this. So he didn't just stop. He didn't sit back and say, well, that's it. You know, I'm in prison, can't do anything more. You know, we've all done that. We've all done, well, I guess I'm done. You know, no. Let's keep on going. God has brought us to this place. Let's do what we've got to do. Let's take it to everyone. Give it to them, you know, talk to them. It may not end up exactly the way we want it to. I guarantee you, Paul didn't want to be in prison. He didn't say, wow, I wish I could be in prison so I could tell people. You know, nobody says, well, I want to be in prison or bound or, you know, sick or whatever it is. But that's where we are. Let's use that. That's what Paul is saying. I am using that in all the palace and in all other places. Where I am, all other places, you know, we tell someone about Jesus, they get saved, they're going to go and tell somebody else. They're going to be in somewhere else. They're going to be in their own place, and they're going to tell people about that. He said, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear, saying, hey, man, you know, I'm doing this. You know, there's reasons. And he's going to talk about these people that some of them are doing right. Some of them are doing it wrong. And we're going to see that. So if you ever look at somebody and go, well, I just think they're doing that for their own benefit. They're just up there preaching, you know, because they want everybody to look at them. We've all seen that. We've all thought about that. Sometimes we will say that and say, well, you know, they're just doing that because they want to be popular or they want to do this. And it's no different now than it was then. And so Paul says that some are confident by his bonds. He said, some indeed preach Christ, in verse 15, even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. He said, some are preaching of envy and strife, you know, and taking it upon themselves and creating this whole scenario about everything. And so it's not ours to judge about this being preached. We can look at people and we can make up stuff in our own mind and we can gather things and think, well, you know, this one or that one, Look, I'm telling you what, if Christ is being preached, listen to it. You know, if it's not, then don't listen to it. If you get on the radio, you get on the TV, and they're preaching Christ, I mean, Christ and Him crucified, and that's the way to heaven, then go ahead and listen. You may not exactly like them, but if they're not preaching Christ, don't listen to them. If they're preaching something that's opposed to that, or it's all about them, or about what you can do, or it's like a self-help book being preached, don't listen to them. And there are many that are out there that are like that. I'm telling you that, you know, they're this or that, you know, but and I've listened to them. I've thought, well, I'm going to just try this. I'm not going to give you any names. I could, but some of you probably get upset, but I've listened to these people, and they don't preach Jesus. It's like listening to a self-help book. You know, they'll take a verse, but they'll twist it, and they'll only use part of it. And they say, well, this is you, you got to do this, and you got to do that, you know, and it's all about you and how you will renew yourself, you will do that, you will change yourself. That's not what it's about. It's about Jesus and what He will do in your life. It's Jesus that He died on the cross and defeated death so we could have eternal life. It's all about Jesus and the free gift. You know, and you may be listening to me and you disagree with me on some things, but I'll guarantee you one thing, you better get this right. There's only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. And He said that Himself in several different ways and in several different scriptures, that He is the only way. John 14:6, He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He told Nicodemus that he came to die for the world, that everyone might be saved through Him. You know, it's Him. It's not anybody else. And He didn't come to condemn this world. The world is condemned already. So it's all about Jesus. So He said, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Envy of who? Paul. Paul was popular. You know, some preachers get envious of other preachers. You know, they're doing this and they're doing that, you know. And I've seen that and honestly kind of even felt it a little bit. It's something natural. You just got to wait a minute. That's not right. We don't preach that. You know, even if you feel it, you don't preach that. And some of goodwill. So He said, some are right, some are wrong. So Paul was getting word. I mean, he's in prison, but he's getting word. I mean, he's getting letters. He's getting people that would come and visit him and tell him, well, this is happening. You know, this is happening at this church and this is happening at that church. He was able to write these letters. He was able to get them out to the churches. Much of the New Testament gospels we get is because Paul was writing these letters, and we get this teaching that we need to know. And this is what we need to know. Right now, it's not about us. That's the biggest thing that we can take away from this scripture, is it's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus and Him glorified. It's about always preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, without Jesus Christ, you cannot get into heaven. That is the only way. You can't do anything for yourself. You can't give enough money. You can't do enough great deeds to get into heaven by yourself. You've got to have Jesus. He is the only way. You know, you may do certain things and you may think this, and you may have heard somebody say this, but I'm telling you right now, without Jesus Christ and that free gift of salvation, the Bible says in Romans that if we'll confess the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. Saved from what? Eternal damnation, eternal death, hell. All those things. Hell is real. I know that some people have come out and said, well, hell's not real. Well, that's popular with everyone because they want to believe that. Well, I can just do whatever I want to. Then it's not a big deal. Hell is real. Heaven is real. You need to be in heaven. That's what God wants for you. That's what I want for you. But it's only through Jesus. Jesus, the Christ. Christ is not His last name. That's His title. I was sitting through a class with another church, and a young preacher said that, and I was thinking, wow, great. I'm glad he's preaching that. Christ is not His last name. It's His title. And that's exactly right. He is Jesus, the Christ, the Redeemer, the one that came to die for our sin, defeat death so that we can have eternal life. He's still alive today. And so Paul is talking about this in verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. He said, some are preaching Jesus just to rub salt in my wounds. Some are preaching this so that they can try to cause harm to me. And there may be those that do that. There may be those today that are doing that, that are preaching to try to cause harm to someone. Well, shame on them. They shouldn't be doing that. These guys shouldn't have been doing that. But they were saying, look at Paul. I can just imagine what they're saying. Look at Paul. He's in prison. He's in prison because he wasn't doing right. He's in prison because God is punishing him. He's in prison because he wasn't fulfilling his calling. He's not even called, you know. I've heard so much of this, you know. Well, he's not even called. And I see that a lot of times people will talk about preachers. Sometimes they get stressed out, you know. Maybe they'll walk away from it, you know, and they're not preaching anymore. People, well, they weren't even called. Believe me, preaching is a tough business. And I don't mean it as business as it's not a calling, but it's tough. It's tough. This world doesn't want to hear it. I mean, as I'm doing this right now, I have critics. I have people who don't like what I'm doing, would like to see me stopped, just say things about me, but that's all right. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for Jesus. I continue on because he's provided an avenue for me to do this over the airways of the radio and social media and through the internet and whatever. And I will continue to do that until he closes that door and provides something else and says, I don't want you doing that. I want you doing this. Paul was saying that. He said, you know, I was out there. I was preaching. I was establishing churches. I was doing good. I was seeing people saved. I was seeing churches built up, men coming and preaching and people starting to spread the gospel. But he said, here I am. I'm in bonds. He said, some of them are trying to make a mockery of that. Some of them are trying to preach that contentious message of saying, look, he's in the wrong. It's going to happen. As you continue on, if you start telling people about Jesus, I guarantee you somebody's going to say something to you. They may call you this or that, you know, and apply a name to you. Oh, you Christians, you know, you're this and that, you know. Don't let it bother you. Continue to preach. Continue to teach. Continue to talk. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Each one of us is a preacher. Each one of us is supposed to take the gospel to the world. It's not just your pastor's responsibility. It's yours as well. We've seen a great falling away in the last few years that had started before that, but people, you know, they got to the point where they didn't have to come to church, and nobody was calling them up because, well, we weren't having church, and they didn't have the guilt that they had before, you know, and so now they won't come back. Gospel's still there. It's still our responsibility. We need to take it to those people as well. He said, verse 17, but the other, okay, he's talking about some preach trying to hurt me. Some preach trying to discourage me or discourage others that would support me. He said, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. He said, some are doing that. But he said, there are other people, they're preaching Jesus out of love for the right reason, knowing that I'm here because I was preaching the gospel. They know that I'm not here because of doing wrong things or breaking the law, but I'm here because I was preaching the gospel. You know, we don't see a lot of that, but we have. During the last couple of years, we've seen some people that were put in jail because they were preaching the gospel. Because they said, look, doesn't matter what disease is going on here, I'm going to continue to preach the gospel. Some came under fire because of that. Some came under fire because they kept their church open. Some came under fire because they didn't keep their church open. But still, they continued on. He said, but the other of love. That's what Jesus should be preached in love. Not just for a man like Paul, but for Jesus' love for us. He said, verse 18, he gets to the nitty-gritty. He said, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth. Okay, so he's talking about some preach out of this, trying to hurt me because of where I am. Some preach in love because they know me and they know who I am and why I preach. He said, you got a couple of categories out there that they're preaching Jesus because of this. Some are preaching Jesus for the wrong reason. Some are preaching Jesus for the right reason. But he said, what then? He's asking a question. And Paul asks these questions, these rhetorical questions. They're thought-provoking questions. He's saying, okay, what about it? What about these two groups? What about these ones that are preaching wrong and these ones that are preaching right? He said, notwithstanding, in every way. In every way. In every way that they're preaching is what he's saying. In every way that they're presenting the gospel, he said, whether in pretense or in truth. He said, some are just pretenders. They're just pretenders. They don't really mean it. They don't really have a sincerity that they should have. But he said, some are preaching in pretense. Some are preaching in truth. That's the way it still is today. Some are preaching in pretense. Some are preaching, some of them are called, mama called, you know, because somebody else wanted them to preach. Well, they're up there preaching, and maybe they're what the world would say is successful, and their church is growing, and people really like them. But, you know, underneath it all, it's all a pretense. It's all about them. It's all about what they can do. And they may even get up and say, well, it's not about me. I'm just, you know, I'm just this and that. And God's just allowed me to do this. But all the while, people are looking at it going, that doesn't sound sincere. Or maybe they're up there preaching in sincerity. Maybe they are having great growth in a church. Or maybe they're just preaching to a small congregation every Sunday and spreading the gospel all week, and they're doing it in truth. He said, whichever it is, Christ is preached. You see, that's what it boils down to. Christ is preached. He's saying, whether they do it wrong, whether they do it right, Christ is preached. That is the main focus of it all, that Jesus, Christ, is preached. That's what we're supposed to be about. You know, talking about if they preach any other gospel than what was given, let them be accursed. It's wrong. It's on them. But if they're preaching Jesus, Christ is being preached. And what he's saying is, whether they're doing it for the wrong reason or the right reason, they're still preaching Jesus. And that's what I want done. And he said, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He said, I'm rejoicing right now. And I'm going to continue to rejoice because they're doing what Jesus told us to do. To spread the gospel, to preach him, to tell people about him. You know, that he is the Savior. He is the one that has the saving grace. He's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that made that sacrifice for us. He was sinless and died and paid the sin debt. He said, that's what I rejoice in. And he said, and I will rejoice. He said, I'm going to continue to. It's not just a one-time thing where I'm going, oh, well, good. You know, he said, I'm going to continue to rejoice. Hey, if someone is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, let's rejoice. Even if you don't like them, even if they said some bad stuff about us, even if they have said bad stuff about people that we don't want them to, rejoice in the fact that they're preaching Jesus. Rejoice in the fact that people are getting saved. That's not an easy thing to do, but that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Why? Because we have the example right here. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And he said his word was not going to return to him void. This is his word. He is God. He was in the beginning. He was before the beginning. Everything. He has always been. He came down to earth to know our infirmities, our problems, and relate to us. So that when we take something to him, he knows it. He said, verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He said, hey, it's going to work out right. He said, I'm praying for to be released. He wasn't wanting to stay there. He wasn't wanting to stay in a prison ministry because he was there. He said, no, I'm you know, going to get released here. That's what I'm praying about. And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm relying on Jesus Christ. So he wasn't just looking at it and going, hey, I'm going to stay here because everything's great. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to go anywhere. I've got a ready-made audience here. He said, no, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. A according to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. In nothing I shall be ashamed. He said, I'm going to continue on. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of what I've done. I'm not ashamed of preaching the gospel. I'm not ashamed of where I am. I'm not looking at this and going, hey, I'm shameful because I'm in prison. He knew why he was in prison. And he said, others are aware of that as well. Some are saying that it was for the wrong reasons. But he said, I know why I'm here. He said, I'm not ashamed of that. We shouldn't be ashamed of preaching Jesus. People may look at us. People may say things. People may make fun of us. But there's going to be somebody that's going to be listening. Somebody's going to get the seed, and it's going to be planted, and maybe somebody else waters it. Maybe we end up watering it. Maybe we end up pruning it after they get saved and helping them along. Maybe not. He said, I shall not be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So we know right now, we see that Paul's under a death sentence. He said, I'm looking to get out of here, but whether I live or whether I die, Christ is going to be magnified in my body. And everything I do, everything I say, Christ is going to be magnified. What a great attitude. What a great person that's preaching the gospel. I look at this and I'm ashamed of so many times that I would get down. You know, I wasn't in prison, but things would go a way that I didn't want them to go, and I would get down, you know, and have to come back out of it. Paul saying, look, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, Christ is going to be magnified. I think about this when I see this. I'm thinking about when I was a kid, you know, you get a magnifying glass, and you go around and you look, and you look at these things, and what was small was made big, and this is what we're supposed to do. The world looks at it as small, but we're supposed to magnify Christ in their lives and present it in a way that they can see it, that Christ is huge and can be huge in their lives. We're supposed to magnify him, take him out into the world and put that magnifying glass on him and say, look, people, this is him, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one that came to die for your sins. In whatever instance we are in, or instance we are out of, the instant in season and out of season, preach the gospel. Be ready at all times. Have you something, rehearse it if you have to. Have something to talk to people about. Maybe a story of your life, maybe a scripture or something. Be able to present to somebody, because that's exactly what we should be doing. This last verse, and I said that it's very well known. It's been preached a lot, but now we know exactly why he said it. He said it because he's in prison. He's been seeing these things. He's been hearing of things. You know, people have been coming in and telling him, "Hey, so and so is preaching, and they're preaching that you're a bad guy. They're preaching that you have done something wrong. That's why you're here. They're preaching that if you were right, that you would be free. They're preaching this and the other." And then they said, but they're preaching love, and that you're here for the reason of preaching the gospel, and that you're a great preacher, and they're preaching out of love. So he's getting these two things. He's under a death sentence. He's in prison. He's praying that he'll get released. He knows that some people are supplying. He knows that he's preaching the gospel to everyone he meets. In the palace, it's being preached, and everywhere else, it's being taken out. The gospel is being spread right where he is. He knows this. He knows what's going on. He knows that he's going to magnify in everything that he does, and he is going to look at this and he's going to rejoice in whatever reason they're preaching the gospel. He's saying, yep, they're preaching Christ, and I am rejoicing for it. And then he comes to this: for me to live is Christ. He said, if I live, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ. I'm going to continue to preach him no matter what. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, for me to live, I'm going to continue to preach Jesus Christ. For me to live is to have Christ in my life. For me to live is to have another opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. But he said, to die is gain for me. It's gain for me. because I know where I'm going to go, because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, I know that. And I preach that. And I understand that. So no matter what, I'm a winner. Because I've been given the victory in Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. I've given you the victory. With Jesus Christ in your life, you've already been given the victory. Without Jesus Christ in your life, you don't have it. I pray that today you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you're living a life for him and you're preaching no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you're telling people about Jesus and you're not worried about the rest of them and what they're doing. But if you haven't, I pray that today that you will accept Christ as your Savior, that free gift of salvation, and give your life to him. Thank you for allowing me to be with you today. My name is Charles Morgan. This is Word is Alive Ministries.